Money Buddy Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
You know, if we're lucky enough, we'll have someone older than us when we are quite young telling us the importance of investing. And often you'll find that that advice includes the suggestion of getting yourself a financial advisor. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Money Buddy, brought to you by PGIM India Mutual Fund, a podcast series where our CEO, Ajith Menon, shares his invaluable insights and rich professional experience to guide us on how we can maximize our investment journeys, make the best of all of the opportunities we've got for wealth creation and generation, and essentially lead a stress-free financial life. Now, you would have picked up from my introduction that today's podcast focuses primarily on the need for a financial advisor. You know, when I just began working, my father was the one who told me, listen, put your head down, take a look at your savings, see how much you're making, and make sure that you start investing as soon as you can. Lucky for me, things kind of fell in place and I got myself advice from a really, really helpful financial advisor. But what really is the need for a financial advisor? That's what Ajith is going to talk to us about today. So without further ado, let's dive into this episode of Money Buddy.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode. This is Ajith, your host, and I hope to cover a topic that has immensely helped me personally in my journey of wealth creation as well. And that's really having a financial advisor to help you plan your financial journey of life and all the financial goals that you and your family would want to have. Now, you might find that pretty odd to say that here's a CEO of a mutual fund, a finance guy himself, and has been there, done that, and he has a financial advisor. And I hope that through this episode, I'm able to bring up a couple of reasons as to why that is so important to have, even for somebody who may believe that they have all the information and knowledge that's required for a particular domain. Let me start actually with a very interesting quote that I came across recently, and this was by Mike Tyson. Apparently, a journalist asked him as he was getting into the ring for a fight as to, you know, how he prepares and plans for a fight in advance. And Mike Tyson is supposed to have said, everybody has a plan till they are punched in the face, and then all plans go out of the door and you just swing. And the reason I found that quote so interesting is that I think in our lives, as we go about it, we pretty much feel like we are in a boxing ring with so many challenges that gets thrown at us at all times, and we're swinging away to beat all of those challenges, not only survive but thrive in our life. Of course, we're talking here about a financial life. Very interestingly, there's been, you know, studies that have been done on what's called action bias that we all human beings have. And action bias is actually high when we have high stakes involved. So it essentially is just the dramatic kind of effort that we all put in the face of high stakes. And some of the research related to this action bias, which I thought was very appropriate, I came across in a book by Daniel Crosby called Laws of Wealth. And he talks about research that's been done on penalty kicks in football, and roughly about 311 odd penalty kicks that were studied. And 94% of the time, the goalkeeper dives to the left or to the right. But when you analyze all the shots that were made on goal, it's roughly one third to the left, one third in the center, and one third to the right, which essentially meant that if the goalies just stayed put in the center, there was a 60% probability at saving a goal. And that's by doing nothing instead of being forced into action because you have high stakes involved. Now, I guess it's easy to say and difficult for people to follow, but that's really what action bias is. And we all go through it whenever we are faced with high stakes. And I do think that in our financial journeys, as we are creating wealth, it is a high stakes process for all of us. I do think that when it comes to the time frame of investing, which is not just short term, right? There are goals that are short, there are goals that are medium term, there are goals that are long term. Then, well, it's going to be very difficult to just depend on the fact that you've got a few things right and that you feel reasonably confident about. And it's then also a question of skill and luck. You know, was that really skill that helped us make that wealth when we did it ourselves? Or were we just lucky at points in time? I know that the skill versus luck debate is something that happens quite a lot, but the way I think about it and I discuss it with my fund managers here, I think the basic difference is that skill is repeatable in a pretty good frequency and luck isn't. And that's just the difference. So how repeatable can you make that success? I think that that comes from honing a particular process that helps you achieve all of the goals that you want to achieve with a much higher probability. It's not as if you won't make some mistakes, but you're going to be reducing the probability of making those mistakes. And I think that's an important point, reducing the probability of making mistakes. I think that when you think about the difference of risk and uncertainty, a lot of times we question what is really risk and, you know, what's probably uncertainty, right? And I think the definition there is more that risk is something that you could probably measure because of what you've already experienced in the past, whereas uncertainty is something that you just can't prepare for because it is that unknown unknowns that we tend to face many a time in life. And that's where the help of a financial advisor who works with you for your family's financial goals is so important because, as we know, each of us is unique. Each of our households are unique. When we talk about experts, when we talk about, and here I'm talking about just experts that we come across in the media, newspapers and magazines, and, you know, it's bombarding us from all directions, I guess. And when you think about the fact that we listen to many of these experts and we believe in their expertise, there's a lot of research actually, you know, to the contrary as well. I remember, again, from the book Laws of Wealth by Daniel Crosby, references to the fact that when you do research on Wall Street forecasts, for instance, and this is contrary to investor David Drimon, who did this, found that 59% of most of the Wall Street forecasts missed by over 15%. That means it is unusable, basically, in research. 59%. In a good 20-year period, right up to the 1990s, from 1970s, they looked at 80,000 estimates, and it had a 1 in 170 chance of being plus minus 5% from the estimate. So there's more research there. There was research done by Michael Sandretto and Sudhir Krishnamurti of MIT, which looked at one-year forecasts of 1,000 companies, and they had missed their mark by 31 or 0.3% on average. There's a famous study by Philip Tetlock of UCLA, which studied 82,000 predictions over 25 years by 300 experts. And the result? Well, it all seemed as good as flipping a coin. And the more confident the experts were, the more it tended to be wrong. And what's the point of all of these statistics that I'm quoting? I think the point is that what we take as experts when we think about the things that we want to buy, when I say financial products, it is getting marketed to us all the time. And we've got to remember that there are businesses out there, they need to make profits. And there is even research to suggest that over periods of time, many of the analysts who make recommendations, the number of buy recommendations have increased from something like 6 buy recommendations of a stock to 1 sell recommendation of the same stock in the 1990s to now around the 2000s and beyond, it's 50 buy recommendations for a stock for every sell recommendation of that same stock, because there's an incentive structure built in and people need to buy stuff for the business to move on. And that's one sort of maybe dimension of what I think is something for all of us to be sort of careful about. There's nothing wrong in watching TV and all the experts on it and the newspapers and magazines and finfluencers and things like that. But I do think that there is an easier, better way to do it. And the reason is because reality suggests that there's always some regression to the mean, getting back to the averages. And therefore, what's important really is not what's happening right now in the markets, what's expected to happen in the future, but hey, what is your financial goal? What kind of returns and risk can you take for that financial goal? And do we have a process that can reduce the probability of making mistakes? And that's where a financial advisor can come in and help you, get to that particular goal. Now, when it comes to getting a financial advisor, one may ask, so how should I go about doing it? I told you at the beginning that I have a financial advisor. Well, it's easy for me. I'm in the financial services business. I meet advisors all the time. I've had enough time to assess, obviously, over my career as to who I feel comfortable with. And I have the same financial advisor that I've had for the last 13 or 14 years now. I'm extremely happy with all of the outcomes that I've had in for my family's financial goals. But I could give you a few thoughts when you go about looking for a good financial advisor. Of course, you will talk to friends and family and you would go online to look for it. You can go onto the Association of Mutual Funds in India, the AMFI website, or the SEBI, Securities Exchanges Board of India website, to look for registered investment advisors or mutual fund distributors and things like that who can come to you. But how would you go about choosing this financial advisor? Let me give you one very unconventional way to do it, which is that it would be good for you to find a financial advisor who is part of your generation. So if you're a 50-year-old person looking for a financial advisor, once you've interviewed a few financial advisors, ideally look for those people who are approximately in your age group. And the reason I say is that you are able to relate much better in your own generation. So if you're a young person, looking out for an advisor, look for your young advisor. If you're middle-aged, look for a middle-aged advisor. And if you're older in the age category, go look for a slightly older financial advisor. And I can promise you that the aspect of finding common ground will be much bigger. And that makes the process a little more smoother. Of course, there are certain other very conventional things that I would advise that you should look for when you are interviewing your advisor, which is to check for the fact that the advisor deals in multi-financial products and solutions and is not just, selling you direct stocks or just mutual funds, but is able to do both of them and is also able to help you with insurance, is able to help you to write a will, to file your taxes, and things like that. So a practice of a financial advisor that's multidimensional is something that I would prefer if I were to go for a financial advisor. And of course, in the questions in the interview that you're doing with your advisor, it might be worthwhile to look for the kind of infrastructure they have, the technology that they use, the ability to have multiple touch points. They can be online with you. They can come and meet you physically. And it's not either or only and things like that. So I think those three aspects, looking for somebody who is like you in your generation, looking for somebody who has multi-products and solutions to offer, end-to-end services, and looking for the infrastructure, the technology, and the different, hybrid ways that they can engage you and the family. I think those are three maybe simple things that I can give you as advice to look for when you're interviewing financial advisors. I hope you liked that episode and you agree that it would be really beneficial to let this high stakes decision making that we have not be swung by our own personal emotions and have a trusted advisor, a qualified advisor, an experienced one that you can interview, help you plan your financial goals for your unique set of requirements. So that's all for today. Thank you and see you in the next one.
Well, you know, the stars kind of aligned for me when it comes to the presence of a financial advisor in my life. But today's podcast is the first time I've realized the need for one. Those statistics are truly revealing when it comes to human nature and the importance of process, isn't it? Especially in our financial journeys. So let's end today's podcast the way we usually do, which is to realize that everybody's investment journey is extremely unique. And this is just a reiteration of what Ajit talked to us about on today's episode of Money Buddy. So be sure to heed the advice of an advisor that you trust and only then take decisions towards your financial goals. That's a wrap on this episode of Money Buddy, brought to you by PGIM India Mutual Fund. We'll catch you on the next one very soon. But in the meantime, happy investing.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
Money Buddy Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.